So anyway, let's go to the book of Revelation this morning. Turn with me there to Revelation chapter 5 is where we'll get to here in just a moment. As we have the Lord's table spread before us, as we think about what it's going to be, what all this symbolizes, what can we do to prepare our hearts? And I believe I'll bring a message this morning to prepare you to revel in the table, in the bread and the wine that is set before you this morning. Let's pray together. Father, in the strong name of Jesus, we lift Him up this morning, God. We come to You asking, Lord, that You would speak to us, Lord. You have given us many means of grace, Father. And today we're going to witness several of those, Father. But we are particularly through the preaching of Your Word and then through the celebration of communion, the celebration of Lord's Supper as we come. And Lord, we take the cup and we take the bread and we remember, Lord, as You told us to do in remembrance of You what You did while on this earth and what You're doing now, God, and what You're going to do in the future. We thank You for the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Have you guys ever heard about something that was great? I mean, someone was telling you how great it is and all those things, and you believed them. You said, I believe it is great. But then once you actually saw it, once you actually experienced it, it was way better than what they had told you about. For me, a marriage was that way. I mean, let me be honest. There were a few folks, you know how the men like to get around talking about old ball and chain and all that. So they made it sound like a marriage wasn't that great. But several folks, and from what I could see from others, marriage was going to be great. And I believed it was going to be great. But then when I experienced it, I just testify, it was so much greater. It was so much more of a blessing. It was way more than I had ever prepared myself for. It was way better. I heard it was great, but it was greater. I heard it was glorious, but it was greater. Same thing with children. I mean, growing up as a boy, I mean, guys don't think about having children, okay? I mean, we've got all these dreams and adventures and all these things. And you ladies, you love to play baby dolls and push around baby carts and buggies and cook and all those things as children. I know I've got a daughter that does that. So I didn't think about children. But when we found out that Christy was pregnant and we were planning and hoping for a child, and to be honest, Zachariah was a bit of a surprise to us. We weren't planning to have children when we had children, although we'd been married at that point for a couple of years. We weren't planning to have children yet, but when we found out that she was pregnant, I got excited about it because I knew children were going to be glorious. They were going to be great. But guess what? When they came, I found out through experience, through seeing, that they were much greater than I ever thought they would be. Today, Zechariah turns 8. He's 8 years old today. And what a blessing all of my children have been. I'm so thankful for them. Also, as you think about Scripture, I believe heaven's going to be that way, right? I mean, I've heard that it's glorious. I get excited about when I read in Scripture what it's going to be like. And God has revealed to us so many things about it that make us say, wow. Right? That's glorious. I can't wait. But guess what, friend? I believe that when we get there, it's going to be way greater than it ever was even revealed to be. Because it can't be put into words. It can't be properly captured. This morning, to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper, I want to zero in on two scenes in Scripture that fit the category that I'm talking about here as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Right? We hear of something that is glorious, but then we see that it's greater. When it's experienced, when it's seen, it's far greater than was ever heard tell of. Go with me to Revelation chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 5. Chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Just read through this chapter this morning and let it hit you this morning, and then we'll talk on it for just a moment. The Scripture says, I saw on the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book and to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its 7 seals. And I saw between the throne with the 4 living creatures and the elders
a lamb, standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.'" And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The first thing I want you to see this morning, as you think about something glorious that was heard about, but then when it was actually seen, when it was actually experienced, is first I want you to see that John heard that it was going to be a lion. He heard that it was going to be a lion. The angel calls this one who is going to save the day. Right? I mean, no one could break the scrolls. No one, it was troubling to everybody. They couldn't find anybody to break the seals on this scroll of this book with the seven seals. And the angel calls this one who is about to save the day, the one who can do that exact thing. He calls him the lion that is from the tribe of Judah. Now that comes from Genesis chapter 49. That title derives from Jacob's blessing. Jacob's blessing on the tribe of Judah there in Genesis 49, 8 through 10. I want you to hear this because this is important. Genesis 49, 8 through 10 says this: "Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares rouse him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples." Notice there in that prophecy there, that's what Jacob was doing as he was about to die. He was prophesying over his children and over Judah. He prophesied that the scepter, which is like the symbol of sovereign authority for a king, it was never going to leave the tribe of Judah. It was going to be there forevermore. Someone from the tribe of Judah would reign forever. And this one not only is from the tribe of Judah, but this one who will reign forever is also, it says here, the root of David. He not only calls him the lion who is from the tribe of Judah, but he calls him the root of David. Again, this is prophesied in the scripture as well. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5 is where we get this prophecy here. It says this, Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 5. "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. With righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waste. That was prophesied about this one that's going to break the seals here, that's going to be the hero of the day. King David himself was from the tribe of Judah. And God covenanted with David and told him, your throne is going to be established forevermore. And so this lion who is from the tribe of Judah and who is the root of David, that's none other than Jesus Christ himself. And that's the one here that we encounter in Revelation chapter 5. As someone is saying, who is going to do this? Who's going to save the day? Who's going to break the seals on this book? There was nobody. But then the elder tells John. The elder tells John there in verse 5. Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. This is Jesus Christ. The imagery of a lion, think about that for just a moment. Man, that is glorious. The image of a lion, I mean, you can't think of a more majestic creature, a creature that's more acquainted with royalty in all of our literature and all the things that we do back in our culture and all those things. I mean, a lion is ferocious. Claws and teeth and attitude and all those things. He's dominant with strength and with speed. John heard that the lion was going to save the day. He heard that, but that's not what he saw when he looked. He heard something glorious, but what he saw was greater. And that's what this right here. John heard it was going to be a lion, but saw that it was a lamb. John heard that it was going to be a lion, but saw that it was a lamb. Notice verse 5 and 6 again. There, Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that's from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb. He heard a lion, but he looked and behold, a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. I declare to you today that what he heard, what John heard, was glorious. But as he actually turned and beheld it, it wasn't a lion that he saw. No. He saw a lamb. And I declare to you that was much greater than that lion would have ever been. Because think about it here. Here is this lion who has seven horns. He has seven eyes. Those seven horns, that points to perfect power, perfect strength. In other words, it points to this lamb's omnipotence, that he is almighty. And he also has seven eyes, which points to perfect knowledge, perfect vision. In other words, it points to his omniscience, that he knows all things, that he sees all things. And when you couple that together with might and with knowledge, he is awesome, right? Way more glorious than that lion ever would have been. But not only that, the lamb looked slain. He looked slain. I don't know what that means. I don't know how a lamb stands like it was slain, but that's what he saw in the vision. And of course, this points to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Guys, think about this with me for just a moment. Jesus Christ did not come as a lion the first time. And praise God, he didn't. He came as a lamb instead. Think about it for just a moment. If he had come as a lion the first time, he would have devoured the wicked and we would have been done. We would have been done. We wouldn't have had a hope in the world. But he didn't come as a lion. He came as a lamb. He came as a lamb, the suffering servant. He came as a lamb who lived and died and bled and rose again, which then gave him the authority to open the book with the seven seals. Church, that's why the elders and the living creatures, they fell down before him there in verse 8. That's why the angels there in verse 12, They say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. That's why it doesn't stop there. It goes on to all creation. There in verse 13, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, all creation cries this out, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the angels said, amen. And the elders couldn't say another word. They just fell down and worshiped Him. That's the Lamb, not the lion. It was the Lamb that overcame. It was the Lamb who came. He heard it was a lion, but it was a Lamb that came. And with the blood of the Lamb, He purchased people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and every people, and made them a kingdom of priests who will reign on the earth. That was a glorious thing that He heard, but what He saw was much greater. And that truth leads us to the second scene here in Revelation chapter 7, where something glorious is heard, but something greater is seen. Now these two scenes are not unconnected. They are connected, right? In fact, I believe that what you see in Revelation 7 is the fruit of Revelation chapter 5. In other words, this one who was slain bears fruit from his death, his burial, his resurrection in Revelation chapter 7. Let's go to Revelation chapter 7. I want to read this again in light of chapter 5. Revelation chapter 7 this morning, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper this morning. After this, I saw four angels standing at the corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 sealed. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their face before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, these who are clothed in white robes, who are they and where have they come from? I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb is the center of the throne, or the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What do we have here? Again, how does this fit in to something glorious heard, but something greater seen? Well, let's look here. John heard it was going to be a Jewish multitude of 144,000. That's what he heard. He heard that it was going to be a Jewish multitude of 144,000. We have the angels sealing the servants of God. That's what it says here. Now remember a moment ago that John heard it was going to be a lion, but he saw a lamb. Notice what he heard here. Look at verse 4 again. I heard the number of those who were sealed, 140,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. That's 12,000 from the 12 tribes, which equals 144,000 people. So it seems that this multitude right here is being gathered from Jewish people of a definite number, right? Jewish people of 144,000. So it seems that this multitude that's being gathered is Jewish, which that's glorious, right? That's glorious. I mean, it was the Jewish people that God called Israel eventually. It's with those people that He covenanted with. It's with those people that He chose to be His physical nation. It's with those through whom He brought the Messiah, through the Christ. That's glorious that He would work to save Jewish people. But friends, let's not stop at what John heard. We've got to go also to what John saw. John heard it was going to be a Jewish multitude of 144,000. But saw a multi-ethnic multitude of innumerable proportion. Let me say that again. He saw a multi-ethnic multitude of innumerable proportion. He heard in verse 4 that it was going to be those who were sealed, 144,000 from the tribe of the sons of Israel. But look at verse 9. Look at what he actually finds out. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They weren't just Jewish people. Y'all, look at this. This is hope for you and this is hope for me. John saw Chinese people. He saw Russian people. He saw American people. He saw African people. He saw people who spoke Arabic. People who spoke English with a southern accent like you and me. He heard people who spoke English with a British accent or an Australian accent. He heard people speaking Mandarin. He heard people speaking French. Whatever language on the earth, from every tribe, tongue, and people. And they were all clothed in white, which means purity. It symbolizes purity. And in their hands were palm branches, which symbolizes peace. They praised God for the salvation they had received through the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Let me remind you this morning, church, John 3:16 doesn't say that God so loved the nation of Israel that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever could believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. No. It says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus came to gather for Himself a people from every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. There's so much more I'd love to say on this morning, but I can't go any further. I got to stop. John heard something glorious, but saw something much greater. Much greater. So what in the world does Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 7 have to do with the Lord's Supper this morning? Does it have anything to do with what we're doing here this morning? And I would say it has everything to do with the Lord's Supper. The Lamb who was slain, moved and worked and brought about the salvation of every person from every corner of the globe who will believe on Him. Amen? It says right here, they were every tribe, tongue, nation, people. It doesn't matter where you've been born. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been or where you're going. What matters is, will you turn and trust in Jesus Christ? He has provided a way. He's gathering together for Himself a people. With His own blood, He purchased people. And so the point this morning, as we look at the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine set before you today are a solemn celebration that Jesus Christ was slain to seal our salvation. You got to get Revelation 5 with Revelation chapter 7, because Revelation is the work, Revelation 5 is the work, and Revelation chapter 7 is the harvest. My friends, we're in the harvest now. and people are gathered together. They're being gathered together. And as we take the Lord's Supper this morning, we proclaim one thing. We proclaim many things, but we want to especially proclaim this morning that Jesus Christ is the hope of the nations. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've been. He's your hope. He is your hope. You know, before you is just some bread and some juice. I call it wine because the Bible calls it wine. It's new wine. It's unfermented grape juice. And that's good. I mean, you know, my kids would live on that. I mean, that's great. That's glorious. But you know what? It points to something greater. A lamb who was slain and can still save the sorriest sinner on the face of the planet, of which I was chief of them. You know what I'm saying? He's still reaching out. And so as you come this morning to the Lord's table, remember it's a solemn celebration that Jesus Christ was slain to seal your salvation. Praise God that it's not just a Jewish people that He's pulling together, but it's a people from every tribe, nation, people, and tongue. And may it propel us out to go and share so that many more will be saved today.